person. Oh, dear. Thank you for your warm welcome. It's wonderfully better than a hot reception. And I bring you greetings from Highlands Church in Mittagong and Darren and Nikki, where we fellowship. It's great to be here again. It's been, I think, 12 months, maybe. So I don't get invited very often. I don't know what that's about. But here we are, together around the Word of God. Now, I've only grabbed half of my notes there. Can you grab the rest of it? Thanks, Jane. Jane's wonderful, beautiful, patient. Long-suffering, that's it. We reached our 51st wedding anniversary the other week. So, well done, Jane. So, what a blessing. Here we are, it's Sunday again, and we gather around the pulpit to hear from God, to hear from heaven, hopefully, and to listen to what he might want to say to us. And to begin with, I want to tell you a prayer story, and then we're going to unpack a little bit of the word. Just before the referendum last year, on the 14th of October, as you may remember, the country was in a bit of turmoil. But previous to that, God had placed on my heart to pray for the heart of our nation. It's not about the politics, it's not about the Aboriginal issue, it's not about the gender benders and all the rest of it. It's about the heart of our nation has walked away from the things of God. It's walked away from the truths of God. It's walked away from the heritage of God. And I was started to pray for the heart of our nation. Earnestly, God, would you touch our heart, heal our heart. Well, a couple of days before the referendum, Thursday night or Friday morning it was, 3 o'clock in the morning, I'm awoken by what I sense is a presence in my room, and immediately knew that there was a supernatural thing happening. And I challenged that presence. Declare to me then that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, as you're supposed to test the spirit that comes. So I tested the spirit that comes in that manner. I felt like, tick, that you got that right, Paul. I said, thank you, Lord. He said, now come up here, I want to show you something. Immediately, I'm above the globe, if you like, whatever it's called, above, and I'm looking down on the nation of Australia, like you look down on a globe, you know, the ones that you see in schools and stuff. You look down on the globe, and I'm looking down, and there's this angelic presence beside me that took me there, and then appears beside me, to my left, another angelic presence, dressed in armour this time, crimson and gold, and not bright, but brushed gold, that sort of colour. And he had, well, I'm going to say he because I don't really know, but he had a satchel around his shoulder down to his left side. And he reached into that leather-type satchel and he pulled out a book, not too dissimilar to this book. And as he did that, that book turned into a sword. And he pointed it towards the heart of our nation. And I'm watching that. And then down the blade of the sword, it wasn't like stabbing, but he pointed it to the heart of our nation. And as he did that, words began to roll down the blade, and inside the blade and outside the blade, scriptures rolling down the blade into the heart of our nation. And there the encounter finished. And you've got my attention, God. You've got my attention. I felt like it was scriptural. I had no problem with it being, this is the sword of the Spirit is the word of the Lord. I had no problem. It sort of fitted together. I understood that there's spiritual warfare. I understood that there's realms in the Spirit. I understand principalities, powers and rulers of darkness in high places, and that there's an angelic army that stands with us when we pray in the heart and mind and will of God. There's no problem with, I didn't feel any check about that at all. Anyway, that's Thursday or Friday morning. Then we had the referendum on Saturday. On Sunday morning, my son comes home with the Sunday paper. I open it up to a few pages across, and here is a bold headline that says, "How do we heal the heart of our nation?" Immediately, my antenna is up. Wow, God. They're exact same words that I've been praying. Well, that afternoon, Sunday afternoon, Jane and I had been invited. The local Baptist church was starting off a week of post-referendum prayer. And they invited Jane and I and a few others to come and join with them as they kicked it off, like a weekend, a week of prayer together. And so we went along. And they had, as part of their congregation that afternoon, an elderly couple from the Northern Territory who were missionaries to the outback, missionaries into Aboriginal communities. And they spoke Aboriginal, the tongues of the Aboriginal, they spoke. They had spent many, many years as missionaries in the Aboriginal missions. And they talked about the heart of the nation, and they talked about praying for the Indigenous people, and they talked about that. And then all of that started to click together for me. And then they said, "Now listen, there's a place in Central Australia, in the middle of the nation, in the heart of our nation, called Mount Memory. Mount Memory is about 180 or so k's west of Alice Springs. And in that, there's an Aboriginal community there who are primarily Christian in their outlook. And they've built with the help of, and you can look it up, on YouTube, Mount Memory, the cross at Mount Memory. They've built what originally was a wooden cross on the top of a mountain or a bluff, Harsus Bluff it's called, overlooking their community in the heart of the nation with the help of, I think it's Ken Duncan or Ken Doan, one of those two guys, and a lot of other benefactors who helped them do that. But they decided that the wooden cross wasn't big enough and it wasn't powerful enough to attract, you know, tourists or anything like that. So with the help of those guys, they built a 20-metre-high steel cross, planted it on the top of the mountain and got lighting on it. So now from about 50 miles, you can see this cross in the heart of our nation declaring Jesus is Lord. And so on this trip that we've just done, we headed up through the middle and we got to Alice Springs and I thought, well, we've got to go. We've got to go to Harsus Bluff. We've got to go to Mount Memory. So I went to the information centre in Alice Springs and I said, "I want to go out to Mount Memory." She said, "You're not going. You're not allowed in." I thought, "Oh, well, I've come thousands of kilometres for this." And she said, "No, you're not going in. There's been trouble in the community. They've shut the gate. They don't want visitors coming in at the moment. There's some whole lot of issues in Alice Springs, as you're probably aware, you know, drinking and domestic violence and all that sort of stuff that goes on. And so they're not letting visitors into to Mount Memory at the moment." I said, "Well, that's a bit of a bummer. What can we do?" "Well, we're going to drive out there anyway." So we jumped in the bus and we drove out to Mount Memory, or at least to the road that goes into Mount Memory. And I said, "Okay, God, this is as close as I can get. We'll pray here." And this is what happened when we got there. If you want to play that, Gene, that'd be great. You might have to turn it up.
"Looking towards Mount Memory, or Memory Mount, which is that place I saw in that vision that I had many months ago. And I want to pray over this place. I want to pray over our nation, the prayer of Daniel. And it goes like this. O Lord, according to all your righteousness, I pray, let your anger and your fury be turned away from this place, great Southland of the Holy Spirit, because our sins and of the iniquities of our fathers. Now, therefore, O God, hear the prayer of your servant and his supplications, and for the Lord's sake, cause your face to shine on this great south land, which is desolate. O my God, incline your ear and hear. Open your eyes and see our desolations, which is called by the name the great south land. We do not present our supplications before you because of our righteous deeds, but because of your great mercies. O Lord God, hear. O Lord God, forgive. O Lord, listen and act. Do not delay for your name's sake. O God, for your people who are called by your name. And Lord, we cry out for this nation in the name of Jesus. We cry out, O God, come by the breathing of your Spirit across this place. Lord God, turn your face toward us, we pray. Heal the heart of our nation, in Jesus' name.
Amen. During the process of that, I swallowed 5 flies. There was no shortage of those little suckers out there, I can tell you. I felt to pray from Daniel. It's not how I normally pray. I normally sort of pray written prayer. I just go with what the Holy Spirit has shown me on the time. But I felt like he showed me to pray that way. Pray for our nation, because that prayer from the book of Daniel chapter 9 and verses 16 to 19, that prayer initiated a response from heaven to Daniel. An angel, Gabriel, turned up to speak to him not that long later. And so I was aware that's what I wanted to happen. I want God to respond with his angelic army. I want God to respond, and I want to pray the heart of God. When you get hold of the heart of God, and I wanted to pray that way. Funnily enough, while we were in Alice, I got a phone call from Julie. You're still coming in September? Yeah, we're still coming. Oh, she said, Gary and Elizabeth are out there, Farnsworth. They're in Alice Springs. I said, are they really? So I rang them. And sure enough, they were. They were leaving as we were coming in, so it just didn't work. But funnily enough, small place, really. So that's a bit of a prayer testimony. I wanted to show you that because it's not to blow my own trumpet, but to just encourage you to pray whatever God's putting on your heart. Not necessarily, and that's what I want to talk a little bit about today, not just about how you always pray, or if you have your list, as I do, we all have our lists of people that we pray for and pray about, but to just be willing to see it differently. So I want to challenge that today. The aim is not to get God in on what I think he should be doing, which is normally how we sort of pray. But rather, the aim of prayer is to get in on what God is doing and then become aware of it, participate in it, join it, and enjoy the fruit of it. That's what prayer is about, really. So, Lord, I pray today that you would move by your Spirit, that you would touch us, you would challenge us, you would encourage us and change us. Lord, I pray your hand on this message in Jesus' name. Everyone said? Amen. Amen. If you could put the first slide up there, Gene, that'd be fantastic. Now, you guys probably don't know what that is. There's no railway stations down here, and you've probably not seen one of them for a long time, but that sign is on every railway station across this metropolitan Illawarra network, and it's Mind the Gap. Remember that it's a gap between the platform and the train as you step on or off. And so I'm overlooking a train station there not so long ago, and I saw that, and I really felt led to go down and take a picture of it. And as I did that, God began to speak to me about the gap between my intention and my fulfillment, my intention to pray and the actual prayer time that I actually do. And I felt, there's definitely a gap there between, I recognise that, there's a gap between my intention and what I actually do. And so this photograph started me on a little bit of a journey about gaps in my walk and gaps in my prayer life. You know, I love to pray. I, I won't make any bones about it. Not everyone does. And it's difficult for some people to pray. I understand that, and I'm not trying to put a guilt trip on anybody about that. I'm not trying to say you should pray more or pray harder or pray. I'm not saying that, but I love to pray. It's been a thing in my life since I got saved. I stupidly made a promise to God one day when I was early in the piece. I'm going to give you a tithe of my time in prayer. Well, if you make an oath like that, you better be prepared to keep it, and you better be prepared to spend a lot of time in prayer, especially if you missed a couple of days. So, and Jane can attest to this, throughout the night sometime, I'd be wrapped up in a blanket that I cut a hole in the top of, put it over my shoulders, and I'd go out into the yard and I'd pray for hours and hours. I wanted to keep my oath to the Lord. Don't make those sort of promises don't be stupid like I was, but I felt like I was religious about it. And that's the second problem. I was religious about it, and I got myself into a whole heap of issues with that. But I love to pray, and I love to pursue God in prayer. But I've come to understand that that's a burden of my heart, not necessarily a fire shut up in everyone's bones, but it's certainly shut up in mine. You might want to start calling me Aldi. Yeah, good, but different. Good, but different. Paul's different. And it's true. I am. I want to be. I have to be. I'm called to be. I can't escape that call to prayer. Neither do I want to, really. I don't want to escape that. I want to pursue it. I want to have that simmering burden in me and listen to the voice of the Spirit and follow after that wherever I am, no matter how old I get. But I began to think about the usual way of prayer. And one of the things I realized immediately that there's a gap between my intentions and my actions. And as I talk today, maybe you recognize that too. As you intend to spend that time, you intend to do this, but that stupid clock is ticking in the corner. You know that one you built, Paul, that's a mechanical pendulum and it ticks away there and gongs all the time every 15 minutes. And there's a cuckoo clock in the other room that does the same thing. And then there's the lights on the modem flickering away. And then there's the things that are on standby in the kitchen and the little lights that are flashing on the microwave. And there's all these distractions. Are you with me, brothers and sisters? There's all these distractions about when you go to prayer. I get up early in the morning so that the house is quiet and I'm not disturbing anyone with it, but I still find myself distracted by all this stuff around the place, and the opportunity sometimes slips by. You know, Facebook calls or, you know, the latest news on the telly calls or whatever it is. But I want to pray. And so I started going to God, God, teach me to pray. And then I remembered that in the scriptures, there's a few boys there that asked exactly the same question. Jesus, teach us to pray. Matthew chapter 6. God, teach us to pray. And they're not asking Jesus, teach us to pray better. They're not asking to preach, teach us to pray harder. They're saying, Jesus, teach us to pray like you pray. That's what they're asking. And I think that's a great way to ask. And so we come to what the Catholics call the Our Father or the Pater Noster. We come to what some denominations call the Lord's Prayer. Some call it the model prayer. Some call it prayer instruction. And I want to launch into the first line. We won't get far into this because it's just too vast and I've only gone two lines. You know, I'm still unpacking it in my mind and in my heart. I've got to confess, I've been pondering this first line for months and months and months. Chewing on it, turning it over in my heart, turning it over in my mind, listening to what God has to say about it. And that's for several months, and I still haven't exhausted. I feel like I haven't exhausted this line yet. Our Father, this is Jesus talking to us. He's saying, our Father, not my Father, not just my Father, not just your Father, but our Father. You and me together, we have the same Father. Have you ever thought of that? Wow. That means you're a son like he's a son. Our Father. Our Father. I'm not just his son, you are too. Adopted by God, grafted in, heirs. The scriptures talk about several different images of us being children of the Father. Does that make you a little God? Don't be stupid. Slap that thing. Of course not. It doesn't make you a little God, but it makes you a son of the Father. And how did you become a son or a daughter? Well, you gave your heart to Jesus. You listened and you repented. And as our brother shared this morning, you fell in love with the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and your heart was forever changed. Then the second word, in heaven. Oh, where are you, Loris? She's on the way. Like, you can hardly, I can hardly wait, really. Sorry, Jane, but I can hardly wait to get there, to be honest. Where I see with my, what I see in the spirit, we'll see naturally too. Closeness and intimacy and approachability of coming to your Father, that's what our Father means. And then there's this in heaven, a sort of a separateness about it, a sort of a separation about it. To our natural senses, a far away place. But is it? Let me ask you a question. Does heaven exist today? Hello? Yes. Three of you agree? So if it's existent today, how far away is it? It's food for thought, isn't it? Close by, I would have thought. Isn't the King of Kings in our heart? Isn't the Kingdom of God in our heart? Isn't it close by as well as far away? Are there two aspects to this that we can grab hold of? Yes, it's that realm of where God lives and God's enthroned. But that could be your heart as easily as it could be that place. So anyway, some teachers that I've heard have said that that word could be in heaven, could be in heavens in the plural, and the scriptures talk about the three heavens and you know, that, you know, this one and the next one and the one in the middle, sort of. And we've talked about that, I think, before, years ago. So let me unpack this a little bit more. In heaven, he's not your mate. He's the holy God. And who picked the songs this morning? Julie did. Yeah. Well done, Julie. Well done. I got to say thank you. Those just set the scene, really. Well done. He's not your mate. He's not your brother who you slap on the back, you know, down at the workshop that you joke with. At least not in this context he isn't. He can be, but in this context he isn't. Our Father in heaven. He is God the Almighty, the Everlasting, the Creator. And Jesus is declaring to us that this is the God of heaven. And if you begin to grasp your sonship of this Father, you will begin to grasp something precious. You begin to grasp your identity in him. And identity is a big issue in our society today, as you might have noticed. Now, if you can contain and confine sentences, did I just lose this? That's fine. Okay. You are loved as a son. I love you. Can you hear him talking to you? I love you. You're on my mind. You're on in my heart. I think of you all the time. You know, right now I'm thinking of ways to bless you. Right now I'm thinking about ways to be with you. Right now I'm thinking about ways to touch your life. And even better than that, I am delighted to surprise you. You ever been surprised by God? Oh, I have, on more than one occasion. Which brings us to those next four words. Hallowed be thy name. Hallowed be thy name. There's a book out, you may have read it, maybe not, but if you can get a hold of it, if you're struggling in prayer, see if you can get a hold of it, Kurong Habit. It's called Praying Like Monks, Living Like Fools. It's a great book on prayer, and I've actually devoured it over the last 18 months. Not just once, but 10 times, you know, just devouring this guy's take on prayer. And I really, really enjoyed what his insights. Let me read some of it to you. The word hallowed means to make holy, to set apart, to sanctify, to consecrate, to dedicate. And most commonly used word translated into English is to the word honour, to honour him. Hallowed be thy name. Our Father is a reminder of God's intimacy, and hallowed is a reminder of his separateness, his majesty, his incomprehensible greatness. And it goes on to say that hallowing is an active kind of praying, which is what I enjoyed about our songs this morning. Honouring, adoring, naming the greatness of God. Jesus is teaching us that when we first open our lips to pray, we should begin with hallowed words. Words that honour him. Hallowed be thy name. After all, he's the receiver of our prayers. So honour him in that capacity. You know, there's a picture in Revelations. You've probably read it a few times. You know, the four creatures around the throne, seraphim and cherubim, six-winged creatures, eyes within eyes, you know, fiery chariots, colours and rainbows and jasper and jewellery and golden streets and all the rest of it. Day and night, they never stop saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." By the way, that God is our Father. Get a perspective on that. That God that those creatures adore day and night is our Father. Seeing God for who he really is to them leads to a non-stop, unceasing chorus. Eternal hallowing, if you like. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. God Almighty, who was and is to come. They never get over it. They never grow tired of it. They never get bored of it. And brothers and sisters, they, the cherubim, seraphim, angels, never get too sophisticated for the wonder of God. And neither should we. Now, I've been accused somewhat strangely, I suppose, of being loud, raucous. I don't know where they get that from. Especially in prayer, especially in praise and worship. Exuberant, shout it out, you know, yell it out, and all that sort of stuff. And I love doing that. But it scares some people. Some people don't cope with that. Well, stick it. Because I was lost. I was on my way to hell. And I knew it. And he saved me. I was ignorant of my fate in some ways, and he rescued me. I was wandering in pride and self, you know, sin, self-centeredness, and he reached out to me. I'm saved. I'm adopted. I'm a son. I'm loved. Shout to the Lord, all the earth. Shout to the Lord. I got saved. And if you knew me like I knew me, know me, you'd be amazed at that as well. Yeah? What about you? Shout to the Lord, all my soul. Shout to the Lord, all the earth. Break out in praise. Sing for joy. Make a joyful noise. Come on, we can do that. You can make noise. I've heard some of you yell at your kids. You can make noise. Woo. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Bless his name. Tell of his salvation, as our brother said this morning. Wow, great word. Thank you. You set me up, really. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous works among all the peoples. For great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. Teach us how to pray, the disciples asked Jesus. And he responded in essence by saying to them, remember who you're talking to. You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you have created all things, and by your will they exist. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Saying with a loud voice, come on, this is from Revelation, you've read it, you know it, you know, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive glory and honor and might and power and dominion. Worthy, O Lord, you are worthy, O God. And every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that used to be me, I used to do this from under the earth as a coal miner in my past life. Under the earth, I'd get under the earth and I'd let it rip. Blessing and honor and glory and power to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever. Amen. Hallowed be thy name. And we hallowed him this morning in our songs and in our worship. Good start. Good start. And we haven't talked even about thy name. Hallowed be thy name. We haven't unpacked the name of God at all. You know, Elohim, Father, Abba, Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Rapha, Jehovah Sidkenu. We haven't unpacked any of that. And you could, as you probably know, could spend weeks just unpacking the names of God. El Shaddai, God Almighty, El Elohim, Supreme One, Mighty One, Jehovah Sidkenu, our righteousness. And a last quote from Tyler. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God Almighty. Sing it out. Sing it out. See, music engages your soul. Ah, sugar. Da, 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 da. I'm driving along the bus. Oh, honey. It engages your soul. Any music sort of does that. Well, why not Christian music? Why not the scriptures? Sing out the scriptures. Let your soul get engaged. It engages your mind. It engages your will. It engages your emotion. Can we go to a couple of slides further on? Gene, as we go along, show me what those ones were. I can't remember. I like playing with rocks. And here's some rocks that I've found and made little things out of. And I will take you out of you this heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. Next one. Even the rocks cry out. There you go. Next one. This one. You know that song? It's your breath in our lungs. We pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise to you only. And all the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry. These bones will sing. Let the bones sing. Great are you, Lord. Why are you so loud, Paul? Because I'm saved. I'm delivered. I'm set free. I'm crazy. I'm good and different. Let my prayer be to you like incense as I come before you and worship you alone. Let my prayer be to you like incense. And that scripture talks about the aroma of prayer before God. And the Hebrew word there is talking about turning your prayer into a fragrance by fire, the fire of the Holy Spirit. And this has with it the idea of fumigation, driving out unwanted occupants. That's pretty good, isn't it? Now, as an example of that, a house a few doors up from us has got a wood-burning fire, and he decided to light his fire the other day, and he used cypress pine as kindling. You know that? What a wonderful smell. I love that. You just got to say cypress pine, and I can hear it crackling. You know, I can hear it cracking, you can smell it. It's distinct. It's wonderful. It spreads everywhere. You can't ignore it. You can't say that doesn't exist. What a wonderful aroma. To me, might not be to you, but it is to me. Incense that permeates everything. And that's what prayer is supposed to be like. It has an aroma about it. It has a wonderful smell about it in the hand of God, you know. That wonderful thought of driving out what is not supposed to be there. Now, you don't need a musical instrument for that. You don't even need a good voice. Say thank you, God, Royce. just say it, bro, because you don't need a good voice. Doesn't say to sing well. Just says sing. You don't have to have a good voice. And this might be a little bit controversial in a Pentecostal church. You don't even need to speak in tongues. Now, I know. What, Crossman? Get out of here. Get out of this church. The shepherd's hook comes. Get off the stage. You don't even have to, because it's the word of the Lord. You just have to sing it out, the word of the Lord. Now, don't get me wrong. I love the gift of tongues. I love speaking in tongues. I love singing in tongues. I'm a great proponent of it and a great, almost an expert in the whole idea. All right? I love it. All day and night, I love it. But you don't have to have it to do this. And that should be a relief to some of you if you're struggling in that area. You don't have to have it. But every page of this book, practically every page of this book, has something you could hallowed be thy name with. Every page of it. And you could sing it out and you could make a joyful noise and you could make a song out of it in your heart. Don't do it while you're driving. You might get lost somewhere. I trust that sort of takes some of the pressure off, you know. Oh, I don't want to make you feel guilty about how you pray. That's not the idea. The idea is to say, hey, you can do this. We can do this. It's not hard. It's not difficult to grab a scripture and, I don't know, just any scripture, grab a scripture and say, for you, O Lord, are holy. You, O Lord, are wonderful. You, O Lord, are marvellous. Hallowed be thy name. And make some declarations when we come to prayer. Regard the prayers of our servants. There's another one from 2 Kings. This is a fantastic, you know, if you want to pray in a humble sort of a manner before God. Regard the prayer of your servants and our supplications, O Lord God. Listen to our cry and our prayer we pray before you today. May your eyes be open towards this place and this people where night and day we come before you, where your name is. Hear our supplications. Hear in heaven, and when you hear, forgive us. Now, I don't know what scripture I put up there. Well, that's similar. Yep. Oh, God, wash us clean Oh God, fill us by your Spirit. Oh God, teach us how to pray. You know, intercessions, we talk about that, and intercessions are praying for other people, standing in the gap for them. And we pray for, we prayed for Connie and the family earlier, and I think that's intercession. We're standing in the gap for that situation and for her family, for Connie and Renee and just Loris in that whole situation, and just interceding. That's intercession. We hold them before you, O gracious one. Remember them and bless them. Oh God, would you remember them? Oh God, would you bless them? And we start to sing over them in prayer. Can you do that? You reckon you could do that? I'm not asking to do it right now, but you reckon you could do that? Just try it out. Experiment a little bit with your prayer life. You know, it's not hard to do. You could do that. Oh God, bless them. Lord, we reach out to you for them. God, touch their lives and touch their world, oh Lord. Come, O breath of God, and breathe on them. And then we hold them before you, O gracious God. Remember them and bless them. And petitions, they're like requests that you make of God. I got petitions before God, and you have probably for your kids, or your children, or your children's children, for your children's children's children. These days, which starts to show your age a little bit. Just, come on, God, bless them. For generations, oh Lord, would you speak to their hearts? Would you touch their lives? Would you open the gates of heaven toward them, oh God? You just let it start to flow. And you can grab a scripture and use that as a jumping off point to pray that way. And then you have a supplication where God, would you supply a need? Would you reach out and touch? We have a friend of ours who's a faithful, faithful servant of God and has been for donkey's years. Probably 40 or 45 years we've known her, and she finds herself without a house, and she finds herself as a single mother with all the kids are growing up and left, and she finds herself alone, and she finds herself without a home. She's the place that she was renting and it's just been sold or whatever it is. And now she's pretty much a homeless woman in her 70s. You know, God, come on, God. She's been faithful to you all those years. You wouldn't find a more faithful servant of God. I'm telling you, most of us fade into insignificance beside what she can do in prayer. And so she's just saying, oh, well, God will do something. I'm sure he will. But God, would you bless her? Lord, I bring my supplication before you. God, touch her life. Ask God to supply a need. I can't do this by myself. She can't do it by herself. It has to be you, Lord. And as you pray out loud and as you sing out loud, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So I've been experimenting with all this. Let your word instruct us today, O God. Let your word instruct us. I've asked Jean to find a song, which we just touched on a little while back, and maybe we could sing it together and pray it together. Pray, sing, or sing, pray. However, could we stand together, and as we finish up this morning, happy to pray for people who want to be prayed for in this area. Let's sing this together.
You give life, you are love, you bring light to the darkness, you give hope. You restore every heart that is broken, and grace.